Listen, I want to start my first time of talking to you is, why do you teach? All right, so you're on the first page of your lesson, and I want to run through these some of these things with you. You know, some of you might be here, and by the way, this encompasses everything. Doesn't matter if you're teaching on a bus. It doesn't matter if you're teaching in a Sunday school class. Doesn't matter if you're teaching in the Christian school. It doesn't matter if you're preaching from the pulpit. Some of you guys, if you're not careful, you're teaching for the wrong reason, and I don't feel like God's going to use you to the fullest extent if you don't really know why you're teaching. Now, some of you say, well, man, Pastor, the only reason I'm teaching is because there's nobody else. Okay, well, God bless you, amen. All right. But can I just tell you, it goes a whole lot deeper than that. I was reading a story, and actually I was reading it this morning. It was kind of interesting to me. But the story was about a 28-year-old woman that was killed. This 28-year-old woman lived in New York. She came home, she parked her car, turned the lights off, she was going to her house, and when she was going to her house, a fella came up and stabbed her. When she was stabbed, it was early morning hours, but when she was stabbed, about 3 o'clock in the morning, when she was stabbed, all of a sudden she screamed out and said, I've been stabbed, I've been stabbed. The apartment complex, from the story, says that the lights came on across the apartment complex, and in fact, a person opened their window and said to the fella, leave her alone. But nobody went to help her. Now, this is actually, the timing was at 3:20. She is there, she's stabbed, she's bleeding, nobody comes out of their apartment. All everybody's lights went back off. The person who stabbed her, according to the story, came back and stabbed her again. She cries out, I'm dying, I'm dying. All the lights in the apartment complex across the street came on again. People raised their windows and said, leave her alone. At 3:50, 30 minutes, that guy came back again, stabbed her again, and killed her. You know, I was thinking about that story, and I thought to myself, is that not Christianity? You know, the problem with us as teachers is I don't know what your reason for teaching, I'm going to look at it, but when I think of that story, I think of people who thought to themselves, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to mess with that. In other words, they thought it was inconvenient. Can I tell you that most people in our churches, the reason they don't want to get involved, because it's inconvenient. How many of you work a bus route in here? Would you raise your hand? Don't you like getting up early on Sunday morning? Don't you like it when it's cold out and when you get on the bus and you sit on the seat, it's been freezing all night and you're sitting there like an ice cube? I'm just telling you that what we're doing is inconvenient. How many of you are Sunday school teachers? Raise your hand. Now, I want to just tell you, Sunday school teachers, I'm going to hit it later on, a good Sunday school teacher does not get up on Sunday morning and look at his lesson for the first time. So that means you spent time studying, and probably hours studying, and then you got up to try to teach your class, and you prepared mentally, you prepared your classroom. I'm just telling you, it is inconvenient. But I want to tell you something else. There are people who are going to spiritually die one day, and they're going to go to hell if we don't do something about it. I thought this about that story. There is no doubt that if there was an apartment complex across the street, that there were scores of people that were in that complex, and every person inside their room thought to themselves, I'm sure somebody else will help her. I think that there are a lot of people in our churches that they're the exact same way. We got a church full of people. They don't need me. Now, you came out on a Saturday, and some of you drove hours to get here, so I don't know that this is really the right crowd to say that, because obviously if you came this way because you want to be a better teacher, then obviously you're one of the few. Now, I want to tell you something. Don't lose that. God's using you for a purpose and a plan. Now, let's quickly, I want you to look at this page here, and I want to show you some things. Why do we teach? And it doesn't matter what we teach. It doesn't matter if it's a junior church or if it's a Sunday school class. I want you to think about several things. All right, the first one is simply this. You should have a blank there. Because it is God's what? It's God's will for me. You know, I get a kick out of people that say, I don't like living in Kansas. It's just so flat, and you know, the weather's not so good. And I just ask them, is it God's will for you to be here? And when they say yes, I look at them and said, it's the greatest place in all the earth. Amen. Can I tell you that if you're teaching, the reason ultimately is because that's what God wants you to do. I'm going to tell you, you get that settled in your heart and mind, it's not a problem with me studying, it's not a problem with me showing up, it's not a problem with me spending money in my classroom, it's not a problem with dealing with that kid that you want to kill and let him see Jesus early. It's because it's God's will for my life. Number two, not only is God's will, it's because I love my students. I got convicted here about a month ago because I was preaching out through 1 John. And of course, in 1 John, it talks about God gave us a new commandment, and I never noticed it before because in John 13, I think it's verse 34, Jesus told the disciples, he says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. Now, church, we know what the greatest commandment is. Matthew 22, I think it's 36 through 39. He says, the greatest commandment is to love who? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind. What's the second greatest commandment? Okay, we go there all the time. But do you know what Jesus said in John 13 as well as in the book of 1 John? He says, I'm going to give you a new commandment. I want you to love one another like I love you. Now, I want to tell you something. Loving God all my heart, I understand that. By the way, if you go back to the Old Testament, those were the old commandment. Love God. Love your neighbor. You know what the new commandment is? God says, I want you to love them like I love you. Hey, I know we get frustrated in our class. I don't know about you, but how many pastors here? Would you raise your hand? Hey, have you ever preached a service and your congregation is not paying attention? Just look down the row, these spiritual girls, right? I guarantee you, okay? We all have preached services before, and the person's not paying attention, or they're out in another, and the, you know how we often say, you know, the lights are on, but nobody's home, okay? It's the same thing with Sunday school class. You've spent all this time preparing, and you want to change their life, and you've got this kid poking his neighbor or talking and not paying attention and seemingly not getting it. You know, the only thing that causes us to keep doing it, I love you. And by the way, they don't love you back. That's called agape love. It's one way, all righty? Now listen, if you don't have that kind of love, can I just tell you that's the kind of love Christ said? Because Christ loved you before you loved him, and he loves you when you don't love him. All right? Second, third thing here I see is this. Because I want to be a help to the pastor. Now, some of you say, Pastor, that's the only reason I'm doing it is because there's nobody else. But can I just tell you that's a good reason to be doing it? Hey, the pastor's responsible for that church, and he's the overseer for that church. And to be honest with you, it's not your classroom. Okay, I know you got real quiet, so let's stay here for a second. Can I just tell you that classroom does not belong to you? Those kids are not your kids. You are representing the pastor in that classroom. The pastor can't be in five places at one time. So God laid upon his heart to entrust you to be able to help on the bus or to help in a Sunday school class or even to do the nursery. And what happens is when the pastor changes things. This coming Sunday, tomorrow, Brother Dunlap is going to be with us. And I did not solidify with him until yesterday that he was going to teach my adult Sunday school class. Well, I grew up in a church, my dad was my pastor, that when he had a special speaker in, he tried to put as many people around the special speaker as possible. Okay, but can I just tell you, when I was growing up, there were some times God would put some old men like 68 years old. Hey, by the way, how old are you again? 68 years old, amen. And as a teenager, I thought, I worked so hard to get these kids to come on a bus. I graduated from college, came back, worked for my dad. I'd worked so hard to get these kids to come, and then he would have, you know, Gorgeous George the Wrestler. I mean, these were old timers. And he'd say, son, I want the teen class in with the adults today. I never told him no, and I never said what I was thinking, because he was my father. And I knew I was too big for him to spank, but I still didn't want him mad at me. I said, yes, sir. And so growing up, we would come in and sit, and the bus kids would have a hard time sometimes sitting still to listen to some of the older men that my dad brought in. But I did what the pastor wanted because he was the pastor. So today, when we found out yesterday he was going to teach, I want my teenagers to be around him. Amen. I want the college and career to be around them. So tomorrow morning, I called yesterday, sent a text, and said, listen, I would like for your class to be in with my adult Sunday school class tomorrow to be able to hear Brother Dunlap. Now, I want to tell you, if those teachers of mine think that class is theirs, they would have sent some kind but snide comment back. Okay, but I've prepared my lesson and I'm ready for tomorrow, but if that's what you want and you think that's what God wants, okay. Your pastor knows what you're thinking. All I'm trying to say is this, is God has you there to be the Aaron and Hur to help your pastor. So if that's what the pastor wants, then it's God's will for you. All righty? Number four. Because somebody invested in me. Because somebody invested in me. You know, I always go back to Joseph and how the butler forgot him for 2 years. You know, I don't know, you guys that have been pastoring a long time, isn't it amazing how we invest in people and you think, man, like, I had a guy one time, he wrote me this long poem on how I was the greatest pastor in the world. That poem didn't last very long. I had a person one time come to our church and he said, I just want you to know Heritage Baptist Church is like an oasis in the desert. That didn't last very long. Hey, can I tell you, sometimes if we're not careful, we allow people to hurt us, and so we put this kind of this wall up. Now, I want to just tell you what you ought to remember, no matter what the person was in your life, and sometimes they get maybe a little bit irritated, and maybe sometimes they come a little cross, or maybe they do something that you don't approve of, they still invested in your life. And you are going to have people in your Sunday school classes that you're going to invest, and then one day they're going to, now, and you're going to be criticized. But can I just tell you something? Somebody invested in you. And you ought to continue to invest in somebody else. Amen. Hey, how many of you have children in here? Raise your hand if you've got children. How many have perfect children? Would you raise your hand?
What parent doesn't think that?
I don't think that. And I have 8 reasons to prove it. But I want to tell you something. I don't care what you say about my kids. I still love them. Now, we don't mind keeping investing in them because of love. That's what you're doing with your Sunday school class or your best shot, etc. All right, quickly, next one. Because it allows me to use my spiritual gifts. All right, so the day you got saved, you got a spiritual gift or gifts. I don't know what it might be, all right? The gift of, I know it sounds crazy, the gift of giving, but that is one of them. But at the same token, you don't have to have the gift to give. Have you ever met somebody that just get the shirt off their back? I mean, if they even sense that you have a need, here, take mine. Okay, well, so that's not always natural. Now, we try to do that because it's a Christian thing to do, but there are other people, it just comes natural. That's because it's their spiritual gift. Some people have the gift of mercy. You ever hear somebody, you know, pastors, you ever tell a story, and you've always got this man or woman in the crowd, and you're telling the story, and you're just telling it like normal, and they're over here crying. Oh, that poor person. They're merciful. They have a caring heart. Some people have the gift of administration. In other words, okay, this is what we're going to do, and this is where we're going to go, and they've got every second of the day figured out. Now, is this the woman that has that, the gift of delegation? Okay, it's nice to meet you. Is this your husband? I am really sorry. God bless. Hey, can I just tell you, why did God give you those spiritual gifts? It was not really to use in your home. It was actually to use in the church. Because God says, I'm going to give you a gift or gifts, not to build you up, but to build somebody else up. Amen. So do you know why we have, again, why do we have Sunday school classes? Why does God give us such a wide variety to be able to influence people? So that every Christian can use the gift that they have because they're part of the body of Christ. Amen. You've got fingers, those are called members, the members of your body. Finger. You've got toes, you've got arms, you've got legs. God put the church together the same exact way. He gave you gifts that he didn't give somebody else. Can you imagine if we were all like one person? Stockton, can you imagine if everybody was like Pastor Grandy? You might not know. Can you imagine if everybody was like Pastor Flippo? Brother Flippo has a very, very, very compassionate heart, but he's always the same. I'm talking about compassion. Every time I talk to him, hello, Brother Hanks. He is just the same. But that guy's got like a huge heart when it comes to people. Okay, so all of our spiritual gifts are different when it comes to a church. The reason you're teaching is because God wants to use that to influence somebody. All right? Amen. Quickly, here's the next one. Not only that, number 6, the word edify. Because it is how I edify the body of Christ. That means that actually the word edify actually means to be a house builder. First Thessalonians 5:11, but to be a house builder. And the last one, because it gives me an outlet to give the gospel. Gives me an outlet to give the gospel. Now, pastors, please don't throw stones at me here, okay? I believe that every person is supposed to be a soul winner, okay? But everybody's not going to go door knock a door. I'm sorry. Did you know while we're having this, while we're in here right now, I don't know how many came out this morning because I didn't go over this morning, but at 10 o'clock, a van full of guys went to Topeka to go soul winning. All righty? I wish I could get everybody to go. You know, we talk about... Hello, my name's Scott. This is John. We're from the Heritage Baptist Church. Just like to give you an invite. You get a chance to go to church anywhere? What church you go to?
Grace Baptist.
Is that a good church, bad church?
It's a good church.
That's the right thing, especially since your pastor's looking right at you. And then what do we say? More important than going to church is knowing for sure you're going to heaven. Do you know for sure if you died today you go to heaven? I wish I could get everybody to do that. But you know what I have learned? Sometimes I can get somebody on a bus route. Sometimes I can get somebody to do a flyer distribution. Sometimes I can get somebody to go to a nursing home. Sometimes I can get somebody to go to the jail. There's several I'd like to get to go to the jail. But the fact of the matter is, the wonderful thing about being in children's ministries, it gives me the opportunity to obey the Great Commission.
Amen.
You know, I'm not out knocking doors this morning in Topeka, but tomorrow morning I will stand behind that pulpit and I will do my best to remind people that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, that he died for you. But you don't have that opportunity. You can't get up and preach during a service, but you can teach a Sunday school class. You can work in a primary church. You can work in a junior church. You can be on a bus route. What are those opportunities? Gives you an opportunity to say, hey, listen, Christ died for you. Hey, I'm glad we get to teach, aren't you? By the way, it's not just a responsibility. It's a privilege. It's a privilege. Oh, I can't believe Pastor expects. I want to tell you something. There's somebody a little more important than the pastor. It's called God. Thankfully, we get to teach. Amen? All right, I'm going to try one more session, if you don't mind. Go ahead and flip a couple pages over, and we'll just jump into this next one. I'm on page number 5. How to take the stress off yourself. Okay, I don't know about you, but I get stressed. Now, I don't tell the church family that, all right? I got a few of the church family, they won't tell anybody, but I get stressed. You know what stresses me? Pastor Brother Curry, he's probably the newest pastor in here, right? Pastoring Harvest Baptist Church. Now you're, 3 weeks into this thing? All right? He's the newbie. You know what I don't like about pastoring? You've been doing this for almost 38? 41 years. Are you guys close to the same age?
Don't know.
He is actually 68.
I'm 68.
Oh, that's nice. Wow. So he's older?
Yeah.
He looks older. Pastor Kagan, you know what really stresses me? Is when the Lord doesn't tell me what he wants me to preach and the service is getting closer and closer and closer. Oh, you talk about stress eating. I believe with all my heart that every service is an exact time for an exact people for an exact message. Now, I want to tell you something. The stress is off you if the pastor gives you the Sunday school lesson, because at least you've got that taken off your list. I know where I'm going because this is what the pastor gave me and I'm just following the pastor's lead. That's taken care of. But if you're pastoring Sunday school, Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, you're trying to know, God, what do you want for these people exactly? I want to tell you something. We're wasting our time if God can't speak to us. We do not preach sermons. We preach messages. All right, so you're a teacher. But sometimes it's stressful. I still teach Sunday school. I enjoy teaching Sunday school, but to me, a Sunday school is just another opportunity for me to preach. I know that sounds terrible, but it's supposed to be more informational. To me, preaching is teaching with an exclamation point. All right, so I don't know how you are. Do you ever get stressed that you really don't know what God wants for your class, and it's getting closer and closer to time? I just thought to myself, okay, how do you get the stress off? To me, there is a stress because I'm responsible for that class, all right? So how to take the stress off? Let me click a couple things with you here. Number one, prepare your lesson before Sunday. Circle, underline the word before. Prepare your lesson before Sunday. Now listen, I don't know you, so I can say this because I don't think you're like this, because surely you're a better Christian than this. You don't wait till Sunday morning to pick up your lesson and try to teach. Hey, when I go on vacation, oh boy, you're getting me a lot of pet peeves. You go to church when you're on vacation.
Amen.
I know you're the good group, so let me say it again. Amen. You never take a vacation from God.
Amen. Right, right, right.
If you do that, please look at me so I don't think it's you. That is the craziest thing in the world. Well, I don't go to church when I'm on vacation because I just think I need to get relaxed. Oh, really? All right, I'm not going to go there. All right, so back to where we were. So I put my kids in classes when I go on vacation because I don't want my kids, I want my kids to see other churches. This is all they've ever known. I've been here 30 years this June. So my kids, so every time we go, I send them to the Sunday school classes. I send them to whatever kind of class they can go to. And when we get back together, I want to find out how it went. A few years ago, I went to a church on a midweek service, and so they had a teen thing going on. I let them go to the teen thing while I'm in the main service. We get back in the car, and I said, so how was it? Dad, this is the best church. Why would you say that to your dad, who's your pastor? What's wrong with you? I said, great, so tell me what happened. Dad, we watched Veggie Tales and had Krispy Kreme donuts. Don't get me started. Maybe two years ago now, I went to a church and I sent all my kids to the classes because I want them to experience and I want to know. So we get back back into the car. We're about to go to lunch. And I said, so how was Sunday school? And they said, Dad, you're not going to believe this. The Sunday school teacher forgot her Bible and her lesson at home, so she didn't teach. We played games the whole time. Now, I can tell you more stories of every time we've gone out, but I'm just trying to tell you, you could take the pressure off of your teaching if you would just start Monday instead of late Saturday night. Now, Saturday night's a fine-tuning thing, but you ought to at least start reading the passage so you get it in your head before that week comes. All right, so prepare before. All right, circle, underline the next word. Fully understand, the word understand. Fully understand the lesson passage. Understand. Proverbs 14:6, I believe it is. It says, but knowledge is easy unto him that what? Understandeth. Understandeth. Hey, I want to tell you something. My son got married this last, is Stace, is she in here? Did he get married last summer? Somebody help me out here. Last summer, okay. It was this year, this last summer. Yeah, he got married. All right. Don't even try. I am not 68, all right? So my son gets married, and I just didn't have liberty about hiring him, and I wanted to very, very badly. And I love my son Samuel. I have 8, but he got graduated, and he got married, and I just didn't have liberty, so I didn't offer him a job to come back here because it wasn't God's will. So anyway, he goes into a ministry in North Carolina, and he's working in the church there. I think he coaches a couple things in the school and then helps in the pastor. But he started his first Sunday school class. Now, get this, okay? It is what it is. So he is he 22? 22 years old. He's 22 years old. All righty? Are you laughing at me? Sharon, Seth, Samuel, Silas, Stephen, Stephanie, Sarah, Susanna. Now, you tell me, would you remember all those ages? Yes, you would, because you're a woman, all righty? So he's 22 years old, and they asked him to start a young adult Sunday school class. All right, now he's in a big, fairly decent-sized church, bigger than ours. I mean, good, and we're not that big, but he's in a bigger church. So he calls me and said, Dad, it's my first week, and here's the lesson. He took pictures. He said, here's the lesson they gave me. The lesson included his first adult Sunday school class. His first lesson was teaching on the office of a pastor and the office of a deacon combined in the same class. I said, well, how many minutes do you have to teach this? So when he called me, I said, son, here's what you need to do. You need to read the passage over and over and over, see what the Lord does in your heart. The second, so that you understand the passage. And I said, what I would do, instead of going to 15 passages, I would go to 1 Timothy chapter 3 and just do verses 1 through 12, because it talked to the pastor and deacon. Then, whatever God touches your heart about, he might say, I want you to teach on what the pastor should do for the member. Or he might have you teach what the member should do for the pastor. Or he might lay upon your heart what makes a good deacon. But I said, do not teach everything. Because you want them to walk out the door with something. Right? Now, I want to tell you how where it starts. Read that passage again and again and again. Alrighty? Because what you put in is what?
You get out.
Alrighty? I got 3 more minutes. You guys ready? All right, next thing. Circle, underline the word prayed. Be prayed up. Hey, when you figure out it's not you and it's God, you're going to pray. When you think it's you and not God, you're not going to pray. That's what it is. Hey, do you know what this session's all about? I want to tell you what it's about. Hours and go of us saying, Lord, hey, listen, we're about to step in. Would you please work in somebody's heart? Would you allow them to walk away with something? Would you please give her the Dunlap liberty and the wisdom and the power? Would you please allow us to be able to say what needs to be said today? Do you understand? It's not about what you have on a piece of paper. It's about what you are and who's inside of you. All right? So again, you want to make sure, be prayed up, because it's going to be God. Number 4, give responsibilities to your helper. Circle, underline. Don't forget the word helper. Now, last year, if I remember correctly, we taught on how a helper helps. How many of you are a helper? Raise your hand. Helper? I'm going to tell you something. These are godsends. Amen. I'm not just saying that. There is no pastor that can pastor any church without help. Right. And I want to tell you something. There's not a good Sunday school teacher that's a good Sunday school teacher that does not have good help. But a helper needs the help. All right? So I'm trying to take the pressure off of me for teaching Sunday school class. I teach since I've been here, I teach adult Sunday school class. We meet right here. My adult Sunday class is right in here. And can I just tell you what takes place at our adult Sunday school class? Nice to have you here today. Brother Stumble's going to come lead us in a song. Let's sing. How many of you memorized your verse today? Good. Brother Mark's going to come and go over the verse. And then Brother Mark tells if the boys or the girls, if the men or the women win. We are in a rut because the women are winning all the time. Now I want to just tell you why the women win, just since we're here. Number one, they win because it's an easy verse. I'm not a sore loser. I'm just telling you. Number two, there's more women than there are men. By percentage, they win. Anyway, I'm not going to go there either. But all right, let's find out how many had a birthday. Let's talk about the birthdays. She turned 75, 101. Praise the Lord. Let's sing happy birthday. Brother Stumpfel comes back up. He leads in happy birthday. Now, can I just tell you, I try to put as many people, because they're going to hear me all day long. So I'm going to put as many people as my helpers to help the class get what they need. You know what that does? Hey, my kids do this all the time. What does this mean? What does it mean? Mind blown? Shoulder blown. The pressure's gone. I feel for some of you guys that are pastoring and you're the song leader, you're the pastor, you're the announcement giver, you're everything. If you could just find somebody to help, you can be thinking about the service and what the Lord wants done and be praying without be thinking about, okay, here's the next chorus or next song or announcement. Can I tell you, if you're teaching a class or running a bus route, you should use your helpers. By the way, you're shooting yourself in the foot if you don't use your helpers. I have shot myself. Literally. In the foot. I know how it feels. It was a 45. I was racing because I was trying to beat somebody else's time. Run to the next place. When I got all done, I put my gun in the air thinking they were going to stop the clock. And then it dawned on me, they were going to stop until I holstered my gun. 45 went through my leg. So when somebody says, I want to tell you something, if you do that, you're going to shoot yourself in the foot. I know what it means. Can I just tell you, if you don't use your helper, somebody else shoots you in the foot. Quickly, here's the next one. Get to church early. Our teachers here are required. We start Sunday school at 9:30. They have to be here no later than 9:15. And by the way, if you're a teacher at Heritage, you should make sure you're here at 9:15. You should be here at 9, but you should be here early enough so that you're not, the students should never be there greeting you when you come in the door. We laugh about that, but that happens. What would it be if your pastor stood up right now and went through all of his teachers that are here and said if you were an on-timer or a late-comer? Okay, next thing. Good. God bless you. Number 6, have an order of service. You want the pressure to get off you? Have an order of service. Have an order of service. Hey, I have an order of service all the time, even though I can change the order of service. We have an order of service for this thing here, but I can change the order of service. It's not a matter of we're not letting the Holy Spirit lead. It's just a matter of gives us direction. If you're a Sunday school teacher, by the way, I ran a bus route in Sauk Village, and when I first came to Heritage, for the first couple years, I ran a bus route here. I always had an order of service for all the bus workers, every Sunday. It just helps, makes things, takes the pressure off of me, all right? Last of all, never look back. Underline, circle the word back. Never look back. Hey, I'm done. Let me just say this quickly. Have you ever taught or preached a message that you just felt like the Lord wasn't there, or you just felt like you didn't give what needed to be given? Has that ever happened to you? Okay, I don't have to ask you to tell me or agree, but I have. And I'm just telling you, I feel sick. You folks that have a pastor, you don't quite understand it. When you leave that pulpit and you just felt like that either the Holy Spirit didn't use you, or you felt like you were that you maybe weren't right, or you didn't do. I can't tell you, there's been multiple times that I've gone back to my office because I don't even want to shake anybody's hand. I'm so sick. Sick. To the stomach. But I learned a long time ago, I will never look back to the last time I taught. I only look forward. So I don't know where they get the cliche, that guy really laid an egg. I don't think we're chickens. But I don't care how many eggs you lay. I'm going this direction. I'm not going that direction. So don't worry about what anybody thinks about you. It's already done. You just go forward.